Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It is Monday, January 5th, 2015. This is the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I am the chair of the committee, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. Mr. Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Okay, Jim Boyd. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov. And Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
Marcus Jetter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Manej Saba. Raul Salvador.
Here.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
That's seven. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I sent out a proposed agenda very early this morning. Would someone like to move approval of that agenda?
So moved.
I'll take the motion from Barbara Whipperman briefly. The order of the agenda, for the benefit of those listening to the stream, is agenda approval, then minutes approval, then compliance with the California Attorney General audit, then financial crisis management with subsections for each of the units where we know of immediate problems, and finally new business. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments to that agenda? Let me ask Raul, do you want space to give a report, or do you want to just weigh in on each unit as we go through them?
I'll just weigh in on to the discussion. And then
okay.
Answer questions regarding the California, the agenda on the California audit, the Attorney General's audit, and at the same time on the issue with the cash. I'll just weigh in on that. Or, you know, I'll go and do a little bit of reporting on that one.
Okay. Does anybody wish to propose any changes to the agenda?
We should list all the minutes that we have.
So I have on the agenda November 11th, November 19th, and December 9th. And I think you have the first two of those, correct?
Well, I have all of them. I have... Also, besides what's on there, we also have October 23rd and October 28th.
Oh, okay. Is there any objection to adding minutes of 10:23 and 10:28 to the agenda?
Nope.
Hearing none, they are now added. I apologize for missing that, R. Paul. Any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved, and we are on to minutes approval, with 1 minute for each set of minutes. The first is the minutes of October 23rd. Would someone like to move adoption of those minutes?
I will move to... Okay, I'm writing it down as I'm doing it here. I will move to approve the October 23rd minutes.
Does anyone wish to propose any amendment to those minutes? Hearing no proposed changes, is there any objection to the minutes being approved? Hearing no objection, the minutes of October 23rd are now approved. On to the minutes of October 28th. Someone like to move approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Tony Norman moves approval of the minutes from October 28th. Does anyone wish to propose any changes? Hearing none, does anyone have any objections to those minutes? Hearing none, those minutes are now approved. On to the minutes of November 11th. Someone wish to move approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Tony Norman moves approval of the minutes from November 11th, 2014. Anyone wish to propose any changes to those minutes? Anyone wish to object to approving those minutes? Hearing no objection, the minutes of November 11th are now approved. We're on to the minutes of November 19th, 2014. Someone wish to move approval?
I will. R. Paul moves approval.
He stands behind his work. Does anyone wish to propose amendment to the minutes from November 19th? Does anyone object to adopting the minutes from November 19th? Hearing no objection, those minutes are now approved. We're on to the minutes of December 9th, 2014. Does someone wish to move approval of those minutes?
So move.
Tony Norman moves approval of the minutes of December 9th, 2014. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments to them? Any objections? Hearing none, the minutes of December 9th, 2014 are approved, and we are all caught up. Congratulations, R. Paul. And thank you for your hard work. We're now on to item 4 on our agenda, which is compliance with the California Attorney General audit. I put this on the agenda principally because one of the things that the state attorney general is requesting in their correspondence audit is complete minutes beginning January 1st of 2010 from every committee of the Pacifica National Board, including this one. And since I sent out my proposed agenda, I got back an inventory from John L. Mella, who's been working on this for the national office, and he scraped every set of minutes off KPFTX that he could and came up with a staggering, I believe, 130 meetings that this committee has had in 5 years, 41 of which the KPFTX.org website does not have minutes for. So, we need to come up with a plan for getting the rest together and to him.
Are they in the groups as files?
Paul, have you been secretary every single one of those years?
Yes, I have all those minutes.
That
in fact,
is
all of those minutes
convenient
are posted,
for us.
All those minutes are posted in the minutes section of the Yahoo thing. I can tell me what sets of minutes they need, and I'll just whip them together and ship them to whoever.
I think what he wants is he wants them to be uploaded to the meeting archives on kpftx.org.
Okay.
Because that saves him the work of having to reconcile every cent of minutes to the list of every meeting he has.
Yeah, there we run into a little something. Pardon me. I have been the way kpftx.org works, if you are the person who originally put the meeting notice up, you can amend it, you can do things to it. Otherwise, no. You have to go to, you know, Otis or one of those guys to deal with it. The
so
other
for
thing
meetings
is
that you didn't post the notice for, you're locked out of posting minutes.
That's what my experience has been so far. The other complicating factor is that lately I have been unable to post. I've been posting PDFs to the KPFTX, and so I've been unable to get those to upload. It for some reason doesn't like my PDF files or something like that. And so I've had to have Otis help me out, and I send it to him, and he sends it to KPFTX. So we can do all of that, but it might yet involve my sending the 41 requested documents to somebody, and somebody who has access, like Otis or John, and they might have to plug those in. Unless we can figure out some way where I can do it. If I can do it, I'll do it. But as I say, the past, many months, maybe a year or so, I have just not been able to get PDFs posted up there.
Got it. Okay. So it sounds like, as they're giving you administrative access to all of KPFTX, which they probably don't want to do, you're going to have to wrap up a big package and send it off to them. I'll write John a quick letter after this confirming that's what we plan to do. And if he is aghast at the prospect of having to organize so many email attachments and wants to work out another solution, he can do that. Now the other issue is the executive session minutes. Apparently, we don't have any way to post on KPFTX. So that we have none of those. And I don't think his spreadsheet actually gives a count of how many executive sessions we've had.
Oh, we actually have all of those minutes. We just, you know, because they're executive session, we can't post them publicly. But if the Attorney General wants them, we got them.
They requested all minutes from all committees
okay.
for all 5 years.
All right, we have all of that.
Okay. So just be aware that the exec session minutes are above and beyond 49 meetings that are flagged from just scraping KPFTX.
All right.
And Happy New Year.
Yes, this is fun.
Does anyone else have anything further on this topic?
I just want to add something, what we're doing at the national office with respect to this audit, if I may.
Go ahead, Raul.
Thank you. What we have done so far, when we received the letter initially, it looked overwhelmingly comprehensive. What we did is we created a checklist that would refer to each item number in the letter. And then Margie and I, the executive director, interim executive director, kind of placed where we could get this each item on who's going to be responsible or assisting in compiling all of these records. So we have a checklist that I'll email that over to you. And so this is how we're going to track the availability of and the transmission of the these items. And I think once we put it into a checklist, we are able to kind of distribute the workload to satisfy this request. I'm going to send that over to you, and any feedback that you have would probably greatly be appreciated. And then if there's anything that any one of this committee will be able to compile and send to us with respect to what was being requested, we would appreciate that very much. And that's it.
Anything further on the Attorney General audit? Okay. Sorry, was that Michael?
Yeah, there was a separate letter from the Attorney General about the, I think it was 2010 or 2011 990s that didn't have donor data, and I had heard that people thought they might have been sent, but in separate
There was a second letter. This particular request from the California Attorney General's office, this whole comprehensive correspondence audit, was sent from their Sacramento, California office. While there's a second letter that we received specifically requesting to correct the what seems to be an incomplete filing for the fiscal year ending September 30, 2011. That particular letter was looking for a Schedule B. When SATCO was looking for a Schedule B, I think they got the Schedule B, except that they didn't think that they have enough information on that schedule, so they're saying it was incomplete, so it was not accepted. We have prepared a response to the Attorney General's office. We compiled it. And what happened was the only contributor included in that Schedule B was the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or the CPB. At that same form, Schedule B, we elected to use the 2% of the donation to include the donors. So it's basically about $200,000, $400,000 before they can be included into that schedule, and only CPB qualified under that category. There was an election, and it's just a matter of writing to them that the letter, the Schedule B, specifically elected to report only the 2% threshold, and that should be, that should satisfy that particular letter. This is a different letter from a different office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, anything further? We're on to our next topic, which is crisis management. To recap for everyone, Raul reported out to the National Board at our last meeting that WBAI was requiring assistance from the national office to make payroll and benefits, which was in December when he reported it, that KPFA and KPFK had been able to make only partial payments of their central services for November and December, and that cash was so tight at the national office as a consequence of those deferred central services, that it was compromising the national office's ability to pay Armanito, our audit firm, and keep the audit moving forward, which could ultimately have the consequence of delaying any renewed funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I think we kind of have problems in many places in the network, but there are different problems at each station. So I thought we would go through the units one at a time. And the one I put first on the agenda is WBAI. So who knows anything about why WBAI is unable to pay its bills?
It's not me. All right. I am looking to see if I've gotten anything from the WBAI general manager in the last little bit here, and I'm reading everything, and I'm looking to see if it went somewhere, and I'm not seeing. Okay, I sent him an email. I've been sending him some emails for more than a month, and sent him another one today. In fact, what I did was I included the little bit that you wrote, Brian, in the email, asking questions about, you know, how is this working and all of that, and I just copied and pasted that part and said, we need to know this, and I sent that email, and then I followed up with a phone call. I was able to get him, and he said yes, he would send me, he would answer all those emails. I don't see any emails at this point in time, so I don't know. Basically, what I can tell you is, BAI has this enormous problem, which I've spoken about before, which is we have our back bills. And I think it was October, we had about $465,000 in outstanding bills. Now, some of that was Empire, and if you figure take some of that off, okay, but we still have, at that point, we absolutely, if you threw out Empire entirely, we would have had at least $250,000 in back bills. And the problem we run into is that then for the fall thon, we raise some amount of money, and we're immediately throwing that money into the past. And, you know, so we're broke again. And on top of which, the fall thon missed by 84 grand. It missed the goal, the tally goal, by 84 grand. I am told, anecdotally, that the hypnotism premium that was pitched after that did very well and may have filled up that $84,000. I haven't gotten this information from the general manager. It's something other people have said. In addition, we were supposed to have a little mini-thon in December, 9 days was budgeted, and I've been told that we did one day, and other things are going to be filling that in. So that's what I can basically tell you. I can tell you the stuff I've been telling you for some months now, which, you know, is a big problem. And I have not gotten any new information today or lately from the general manager. And so that is all I can report right here. I mean, the big problem is our back bills and the fact that the thons aren't working. The thon we just had, we budgeted for 15,476 a day. We made about 11 a day, and that's where the problem is.
Raul, do you know anything further about the situation at BAI?
Yes. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yes, there is definitely, I totally agree with ARPOL's assessment of WBAI. We are about 5 to 8 fund drives behind where we have outstanding premiums not fulfilled at this point. And it's a bigger problem than just fulfilling this, and then that means losing our future supporters and donors. It is an ongoing thing with WBAI. The last time I was in New York, apparently that is the main problem. They owe about $50,000 to $60,000 worth of premiums that needed to be purchased in order to fulfill those. That's pertaining to about 5,000 donors or supporters, and it's very alarming indeed. The situation is that they don't have enough cash to pay that. So whatever they generate from fund drive to fund drive, we're paying the previous fund drives. But it's just continuously accumulating more debts than reducing it, because the current fund drive is added on to the previous one while we pay out the older ones. So it's kind of first in, first out kind of system. The other signs of it is that despite the fact that we have a deferred payment or a reduced payment on the Empire State Building. I learned that we are still 2 months behind on paying the $12,000 a month. And we have made some plans to pay off that. We've received a couple of grants that's worth about $25,000 that apparently the GM was setting aside for a studio build-out. I advised the GM to make sure that if that's not intended for the studio build-out, then we should not hold on to this fund and instead make payments to the Empire State Building and these other obligations that we have. And so that was not planned. The studio build-out, there was no money for it. there was some proposal or arrangement that the landlord would probably be advancing the build out, and it will be paid for a number of years. That's kind of like the general terms of that. But it's not, again, there's no formal lease approved at this point yet. With that, the other sign is that they had this $156,000 loan that were supposed to be paid in October, and we were not able to pay that, but it's not an issue of the creditor running after us and demanding payment, but rather an issue of where is the cash? Why are we short of cash? And we know that the fund drive were short. At the same time, the expenses are still there, and we're not catching up. We're paying premiums from previous period. So there is a real cash situation, and but I think there's a couple of things that that the GM had indicated that they expect to receive cash or funds in the next 1 to 2 months. So hopefully, with fingers crossed, that would come through. And you know, there is absolutely a concern, immediate concern, to rectify the situation at WBAI. And you know,
and yeah. I have to ask, if WBAI was budgeted to carry out a 9-day fund drive in December, then they shrank it to a 1-day fund drive. And then they turned around to the national office and said, we can't pay our own health care benefits for this month. What was the thinking? Does anybody know the rationale for calling off the holiday fund drive?
I have to tell you that I didn't even know that they called off the holiday fund drive. I even asked if they can send me the fund drive results. So I didn't realize that it was shortened a bit.
A bit.
A lot.
Let me point out the when I spoke to the general manager today, he said that we were, as of this afternoon, we were actually 3 months behind. Since we're in January, he hopes to pay Empire $12,000 this week, and that'll leave us only 2 months behind to them at that rate.
So it seems like we've gotten to the limit of the information we have available, but there's like two separate issues here that we don't have enough information to sort out. One is that there's a staggering number of unpaid bills at WBAI, and juggling them can make it hard to pay your current obligations, right? And that's a problem, but that's a manageable problem. But the second question is whether or not WBAI is still digging itself deeper into its hole. Whether it's an aggregate piling up more unpaid bills, whether it's operating at a structural deficit. And I was really hopeful that with all the savings measures WBAI has phased in over the last year or so, you know, that at least structurally it would be digging a little bit out of the hole each month. I just don't understand calling off a fund drive. I'm sorry, Paul, my jaw kind of hit the ground.
Yeah, I was rather I was kind of surprised at this myself, you know. I have been asking the general manager to come to a local finance committee meeting for a bit, and for weeks and weeks and weeks now. And today is the first time I had any contact with him in quite a while. And you know, we're not getting information at BAI. We're just you know, we, the local finance committee, one of our things has been for rather, you know, for more than a year, we need information. We've passed motions that we've brought to the LSB about we should get this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, we're trying to get information before we have a meeting, and we end up having a meeting with no information. Or recently the general manager sent one of the interns in with some information, but, you know, in general we're not getting enough information, and recently we've just not gotten any. I mean, today was the first official communication I've had with management since, I think, early November. And so it is a problem. There is a problem, an overall problem, of at BAI, those of us in governance do not have financial, up-to-date financial information, and that's a problem because it sure looks like things are very dire. And, you know, we were seeing things looking very bad through the summer, and then in the autumn at some point information stopped, and we're saying, did things get a lot better? Did things get worse? Are we about the same? We don't know. And there is the nagging possibility of, geez, what if things are worse than we know about? You know, so, which is more an emotional than an analytical thing, but still, that's something we think about. So, yes, this is a problem. I don't know what the rationale was for not doing the 9 days. I have not seen numbers regarding the hypnotism premium. I do know that we've had a couple of good size, well advertised for WBAI off air fundraising events, but my requests for information about those, including the expenses as well as the revenue from them, have not been answered. So,
but the bottom line is, BAI is 3 months behind on transmitter rent. It's not making payroll. It's not making central services. It's not making benefits. It's operating with the rest of the network paying its bills. At least that's what December looks like. And there's, like, no money anywhere else to pay BAI's bills.
Yes, I did, in fact, have a very short conversation and said exactly that to the general manager today. General manager tends to be optimistic.
Okay. The national board is meeting Thursday. Do we want to recommend any action?
Brian?
Yes, Barbara.
Well, I've asked a question like this before, and I realize it may not be, it may not hold any solution, but is there any way that BAI can broadcast through some other method, like just over the computer, I don't know, and be a very different kind of station in our little group of five? That would not cost us money to change into some other venue, if it's even possible. I think of I don't know what else to call it, the Sirius network of stations that are very different than the rest of us. If we had one station that was really odd and was filtering programs from the other four into this different radio venue, is there any way that would be cheaper, wouldn't cost us a lot of money, we might be able to make some money changing WBAI? Anyway, it just seems to me something drastic is needed.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Our Paul.
Then Tony,
since your question is about the PMV, I believe you had a motion last February that had benchmarks in it.
Well, we asked WBAI to come back to us with benchmarks.
Okay, and?
We have a budget from BAI. If everything was working out as anticipated in the budget, they would be paying their own bills right now.
Okay, so my recommendation would be for this committee to make a recommendation to the PMB for specific benchmarks and the recommended consequences of not meeting them. I don't know what other what else we can do.
Tony, what is that?
I've got Tony. Who else?
Our Paul.
I've got Tony, then our Paul. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I mean, we can sit and take stabs in the dark about what the solutions are. What I want to know is why aren't we should be getting recommendations either from the general manager, the business manager, the people at WBAI, and also some of these other stations, as to what are their solutions to this problem. If they know that we're not going to meet payroll and they can't meet these obligations, what is their recommendation to people who are on the ground? The general manager, what is their solution to this problem as to how they're going to meet these bills? We as a board should be presented with options. We can't take stabs in the dark and come up with our own options. So either the central office, the national office, or the particular the general manager, the people that are there on a day-to-day basis should be saying, here's the crisis we're in, here's our recommendation to get out of this crisis. So I would like to know why we can't get recommendations from the general manager or the business manager as to what is their recommendations on the ground to the solution to their station that they should be doing.
So far, the solution's working really well. It's keep us in the dark and then give us the bill.
But it seems to me that the people who are on the ground, that's part of their job. They should be coming up with solutions to say, here's our crisis, but here's... If I was a general manager, even executive director, I would present to the board and say, here's the crisis, and here's my recommendation of how we can get out of this on a short-term and long-term basis. Now, either the board follows it or it doesn't. But that's why we pay the people who run the stations.
Our Paul.
Okay. Yes, I think the big problem, the big problem is we don't know. And we're not getting information. Talk about business manager and general manager. There is no business manager. We share the KPFT business manager with everybody else. And, you know, so I don't know what communication there is there. I tried, you know, a year or two ago to communicate with the business manager at KPFT. I have never gotten a reply, so I gave up on that. The general manager, should be telling us, well, this is how it is, and this is how we can do it. However, I can tell you from some years of meetings, he and I tend to disagree about the financial situation. I typify what he says as rosy, and he thinks I'm being overly pessimistic. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle, I don't know. But I certainly have seen that, you know, the numbers aren't adding up, and I've said here, I've said at the local finance committee, I've said in written treasurer's reports that I've been putting out for almost 2 years here, you know, we have this cash flow problem, which we've all gone over more than once tonight. And the general manager will come up from time to time with a little sheet of here's what we have and here's what we owe. And it's quite incomplete. I mean, we don't get P&Ls, we don't get balance sheets, we don't get a whole lot of stuff. And even, however, when you look at what he has sent us, and I've sent some of this to the committee in the past, when you look at that, there is a big red bottom line of six figures. And so there is this problem, and we do need to get something. We need to get a handle on it because we don't really know the true details. The general manager thinks the next off-air fundraiser will save us. And, you know, the thing is, the truth of certainly BAI and I think all the Pacific stations is, the vast bulk of money comes from on-air fundraisers. And he has been hoping that the interim program director, who will be leaving the position later this month to go back to his regular job, would save everything. And there have been some improvements made in drive time, but, you know, I don't know that they're bringing in a whole hell of a lot of money. Now, I must say, this is from R. Paul Martin's, you know, patented radio advice, so take it with however much salt you please. In my experience and opinion, it takes about 2 years to turn a station around with the air and say, we're going from this, and we're going to improve things, and we're going to get a lot more listeners. That can be done, but in my experience, it's like 2 years to get that to work. And, you know, with an interim who's concentrating on the drive times and making them a bit better, that isn't even a full court press on that. So, the bottom line, I think, is we absolutely need to get solid information about BAI's actual total debt and what the details of it are and what our income is really looking like. And if we can't get that, we can't make an intelligent decision. Nobody can make an intelligent decision. So I think that's the first part of the problem, is we don't know.
Barbara for the stack.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, this all sounds very logical, R. Paul. You're absolutely right. You need information. We all need information. But this person is not giving it, is not going to give it. As far as I can tell, in years past, not that far back, but just a few, he was somehow convinced by the people in leadership at the Pacifica National Office, who are now gone, that he had the right to expect that the whole network was going to support that station just because New York is such a terrific, wonderful place. And we don't have the money for that, and I think the time is way past of waiting for this person to give the information, make an alternate plan. That you know, he's doing absolutely nothing but shining us on. And as far as the members of this committee who are also on the PNB, I'd like to hear what suggestions you have for this. I've tried being very technologically behind to make some plea for changing our technology, having a different kind of station, something very dramatic, but nobody responds, so I don't know whether that's impossible or a bad idea or just such a big thing that nobody wants to tackle it. You know, but those of you who are PNB reps, please tell us, what are you thinking?
Tony, I can tell you what I'm thinking.
Great, please.
What I'm thinking is, once again, as a PNB person, this is, I don't want to get to the point of just blaming individuals. I want to get out of that because that's too much in the past. We just start chopping our heads. We got to come up with the people, with our experts to tell us what options we have on the table. Like, they have to present to us to say, is leasing an option? Is doing ABC an option? What are our options? Because I don't know the details of the day-to-day operation of BAI or Berkeley or L.A. So I can't come up as a PNB member and say, here's what I recommend. We need to rely on the people who are there on a day-to-day basis to present to us short-term and long-term solutions to these immediate problems. That's why we pay people to do this.
Adriana, for the start.
Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I want to apologize because I have so little time. I'm in the hospital. I just came out of the emergency, and I have a few minutes. But what I want to say, too, is that what I think that is the big illness that our foundation has is the result of the LSDs that are not functional. And for that, the first line of control are the first line of inside. I mean, it's difficult for the PMB and for the national office sometimes, I think, realize what's going on in every station. If the LSPs are not doing their job, if the LSPs are being kept in the dark, and the LSP don't have the information, it's almost impossible. We are at the mercy of sometimes employees that have some of them very good intentions, but they are, in a way, they don't see the big picture, and they cannot control their own intentions, and basically we are jeopardizing the whole foundation. I think that our basic problem just is the LSP doesn't have the enough information. I can see my station, and I can see that the same thing repeating in every other of the four radio stations. And that's why when things arrive to the PMB, it's kind of too late. I mean, I think that we need to, if nothing else, if the station cannot leave by the means, I mean, it's not any way. We cannot keep dragging this over and over and thinking this corporate, this foundation without any doubts. We know where we are going. And I think that it's not only, I agree that the PMB have the responsibilities of the foundation, but the LSPs have the responsibilities of their own stations. And if we don't put all of us to work together, all the volunteers, all the people that we are not being paid to do this job, we are there to control and to have the option to check if the things are being done in the right way. I think that this is the big illness of our foundation, that the volunteers, us, LSB members and PMB members, most of us, I just wouldn't see it, but we don't have the information that we need. Okay.
Michael, does the sec.
Go ahead, Michael. Anyone else? I'll put myself after Michael.
Our Paul at some point again. Just
go ahead, Michael.
I'm not sure how to phrase this. I think that the PNB should have the interim executive director direct the general manager of WBAI to come to the next meeting of the WBAI, either the local station board or the finance committee, whichever is meeting first, with a report on the operations for the first quarter of fiscal year 2015, with a comparison of budget to actuals and an explanation of what plan the station management has for digging out of the holder. And I don't have the data to say how deep the hole is, but it sounds like it's, you know, pretty serious. If they haven't paid for, they can't meet payroll, and they haven't paid their power rent, and they haven't paid for the premiums. I don't know what they are paying for.
The GM salary?
Okay. I've been synthesizing what people said into a motion. I'll send it out in a minute. It reads as follows. The National Finance Committee recommends the Pacifica National Board pass the following resolutions regarding WBAI, colon. WBAI's general manager shall be required to attend the next meeting of the WBAI Finance Committee or local station board to give a first quarter financial report. For the next 6 months, WBAI management shall require approval from either Pacifica's CFO or acting executive director prior to making any disbursements greater than $500. And the PNB directs management at BAI and Pacifica to prepare a plan for winding down operations at BAI in the event that the station's deficits cannot be stabilized. The plan shall forecast the expense of contractually required severances and lease and contract terminations. And this is kind of, I guess, dealing with three concerns. The first is the lack of any good information coming out to BAI, to the entities that are supposed to help chart its course. The second is what our Paul said about unbudgeted, sorry, I can't actually remember if it was from Paul or Raul, about money being put into an unbudgeted studio build-out. You can't spend unbudgeted money and then turn around and not be able to make your payroll. The budget's a plan. So I feel like WBAI is going to need greater oversight on its spending, particularly given the gravity of the cash crisis it's managing. And the third issue is I think we need to have a sober assessment of what things look like if we decide that we can't maintain a radio station in New York without blowing up the rest of the network. If we decide that WBAI is just going to repeat one of the other stations or be leased out to another entity or be put on the market and sold or swapped for another signal, we need to start soberly thinking about what our costs are in terms of giving people their severances and paying what's left on our leases.
Can't wait to hear what... So
that is my motion, and I'll send it out. Discussion.
Barbara for the stack.
Our Paul for stack.
I'll go. Our Paul had asked to be on stack earlier, so I'll put Barbara after him. Go ahead, our Paul.
Well, okay, a couple of things. Well, before the motion was made, I wanted to note, we should not make it about personalities. On the one hand, I will note that the general manager at BAI is doing more than one job, doing more than several jobs, and he's, stretched thin a lot. So there's that. Also, regarding the idea of starting our own Sirius network, this is a very big technological thing, and I don't see Pacifica having that ability at all at this point. Anybody can podcast, and there are probably a million podcasts, and nobody's ever heard of them. And making BAI one of those would not be a solution to anything. Talking about the motion, which I am still trying to download here. The idea of getting the information is absolutely necessary. The problem is if it's brought to the LSB, quite frankly, most of the LSB will be looking at some of this for the first time. Our local finance committee is overwhelmingly people who've come in and joined the local finance committee. The way you do that is by attending three meetings in a row. Not a very high threshold. So, but the local finance committee has people on it who are much more familiar than the LSB is with the finances. And the LSB, you're going to have people who will be seeing this for the first time, and it'll require a lot of explanation. And basically, there could be a lack of understanding if it just comes to the LSB. So I'm not sure how to... Now, I can see the motion at last here, so I would say we should we should tell them to meet with the local finance committee, set a date, and give us a first quarter report so that we can figure it out. Because otherwise, we'll all just the LSB will all just be sitting there getting hit with a whole lot of spreadsheets, and you know, maybe a month later, we'll be able to come in and say, you know, we have some questions about that spreadsheet, because we all know that if you throw enough data at people, it's hard to process.
Let's boil that down to an amendment, Arpal. Do you want to strike the mention of the local station board from the first paragraph of the motion, the second paragraph of the motion?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Because I think that would be the better way of doing it. Would be
so your proposal is to strike the word either and then the words or local station board.
Actually, right now what I'm trying to do is with my balky mouse, copy this and put it into the draft minutes I'm writing right here so that we can, so that I don't screw this up. Yeah, I would say, let's see, shall be required to attend the next meeting. Yes, yeah, strike the word either. And or local station board. So that's yeah. So I'll make that an amendment right here.
Okay, let's dispose of that. I'll let you keep the floor afterwards. Does anyone object to making that amendment?
I object.
Okay. Do you want to discuss that, Barbara, or can we go to a vote?
Well, I do have a short thing to say about it. I don't know whether you want me to do that now or later or what.
Now or never.
I think the requirement ought to be to attend more than just the local finance committee and the LSB. As I understand it, this person hasn't been attending GM meetings. I think if he were to attend a National Finance Committee meeting and we could discuss some of this, he might get the understanding of how much this is affecting all the rest of the network. And as much as people are, it's kind of the higher ground to say we don't want to make this about personalities, this is a person who's standing in the way of getting this problem fixed. So I think we need to address what he's doing. And so my inclination would be that he should be attending more meetings, not that we take meetings out of this motion.
This
Any
is Lydia.
On... Sorry, who's that?
Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable with this issue of the $500 disbursement because it's not qualified, you know, whether...
Lydia, let's keep our discussion just to the question of striking the LSB, then we'll return to the rest of the motion when we get rid of the amendment.
So the amendment right now is to strike, we're not doing either, right? We're saying just go straight to the Finance Committee? Is that what the amendment
is? That's the proposed amendment, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll be voting no on that. I think it needs to be both. I disagree with either, but I would amend to both.
Okay. We get one more tier of amendment if you want to propose an amendment.
That is my amendment, both.
To substitute both. Okay.
Well, hold. Point of order. That's
yes.
What the motion already says, so...
No, it says either currently.
Oh.
You're proposing to strike the either and the local station board. She's proposing to keep the local station board and change the either to both and.
That's correct.
Does that make sense?
Both and rather than either or.
Okay, so let me make sure I put quotes around here so I know exactly what we're doing when I get around to this. So the new amendment is to change in the original motion the word either to both.
Correct.
When it were to hand
shall require the next meeting of both the local finance committee and the LSB to give a report. All right.
That's right. And so it would also substitute the word end for or.
Correct.